doing?
Really well, thanks, Joe.
Joe's doing great. Thanks for that word, Joe. Really enjoyed that. Well, if you have been coming here for a while, you will know that at Metro, as of January, we're doing an additional service. So as well as this 7 p.m. thing that you're at right now, we're going to have another service that's going to be at 5 o'clock. And that's to kind of increase our capacity, make more room for people to find Jesus, love one another, then follow Jesus and serve the city they live in. Now, to prepare for that, last week Philip started us off in a new series called Ski Jump. Wow, I really enjoyed that. Yeah! Okay, Ski Jump. S was sacrificed last week. And Philip essentially looked at the theme of sacrifice, that love leads us to sacrifice, and sacrifice leads us to blessing. Now, this week we're looking at connection, with a K, connect. He's really tried with the exclamation mark as well. Yeah, connect. No, well, every time I say connect, just forget that happened, okay? Just imagine it's a C, nice, normal, proper spelling C, and we'll all get through this, it's gonna be okay. But we're talking about connection tonight. That's one of the ways that we wanna launch off into this new 5 p.m. service in kind of a new way of doing things. We'll have a good start, so looking at that sacrifice, this week looking at connection, about community, what happens when we all come together. And you might be thinking, right, so you're talking about community, about how to grow people's bonds and relationship with each other, and the way you're going to do that is by splitting the church in half so they don't see each other. And actually part of it is, you might think, well, isn't community meant to be the easy bit? We did sacrifice, we did the hard one, but community, that's the nice fun one where I just get to have lots of nice mates. And actually, in reality, if you don't sacrifice, you can't get community. If you don't sacrifice, you don't get community. Now, one of my favourite examples ever of myself being involved in community is a story about, I think it was the best day of my life. It was the 26th of September, 2015, and the best point was probably about 9:04 in that evening. Yeah, 9:04, something like that. Now, during the daytime, I'd been at this festival at Eastville Park, Love Saves the Day, seen Fortet, Floating Points, some artists that I really liked, but there were quite a few headliners that were on that evening that I left before they started. And you might think, well, why on earth did you do that, Matt? You did all that, you got your festival garments on, you paid all your money, you got the glitter on your face that is there for a week, and all that just to leave at 6 p.m? Well, folks, I had a very important mission to do. So I was in the field, you're two-stepping, and this guy, my friend Sean Thompson, and we kind of gave each other this look, and at that point we both got very nervous, okay? We went very pale, and so we kind of snuck out of the festival. I didn't want anyone to see us, see what we were going to be up to. So we snuck out past all the, you know, people in their festival gardens, and we got in a taxi, we managed to find one, and we got in, and we didn't talk, I'll be honest, when we were in there. We didn't really make any eye contact either. We were both kind of covering, we changed before getting into the taxi, and we were kind of hiding our clothes. And we arrived at our destination, and we shook hands, didn't really say much, and then we walked in opposite directions. We got out of the taxi, he walked one side of the triangle, he walked to the Berkeley pub, and I walked the other side to the White Hart. And it was the day of Wales versus England in the 2015 Rugby World Cup. Now, this was particularly significant for me. If you don't know me, I'm Welsh, I know I've lost the accent, but I grew up in Wales, Welsh is my first language, did everything in my life in Welsh up until now. But just because I've lived here for a while, I've totally lost it. But I promise you, all I did when I was young was play rugby, sing, and go down coal mines. I promise you, I'm thoroughly Welsh, okay? So this was a big day for me, especially because, so they announced the pool, so the groups the teams were playing in, about 3 years before it actually happened. So it was Australia, Wales, and England all in the same pool, okay? So it was known colloquially as the pool of death, because one of those teams wasn't going to make it out, and they're all good teams, so they should have made it out, okay, folks? But anyway, so I, for the whole 3 years, had it rammed down my throat by all my English friends. Haha, we're going to knock you out of the World Cup. This is going to be great. It's in England. We're going to knock you out. You're going to go out of the pool stages. Huh. And I'd just come to accept that, folks, I'll be honest with you. And it was the day before my birthday, 27th of September, Matthew_Miles@hotmail.co.uk, if you want to PayPal me anything. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. The day before my birthday, I just accepted. this year I'm going to have a rubbish birthday. Wales are going to lose. Everyone's going to take the mick out of me, but I'll just go to Toby Carver and eat my feelings away. It'll all be okay, right? So I just accepted this. And
when I walked into the pub, I don't know if you've been to the White Hart. If you're a fresher or anything like that, you will eventually experience the White Hart. But it's this pub, very popular with students. I don't know if you know, if you've been there. You know, it's kind of around a corner. And on this corner were all the Welsh people. It's where the Welsh Society at the uni go. And so we were all sat there, all in our Welsh regalia, leeks and daffodil heads. And just sat there very quietly, very nervously, just like me, kind of sipping our drinks. And just kind of making polite conversation, nervous about the destiny that awaited us that evening, the banter we would get from our mates for the next 4 years. And we were all very quiet. And then out of the blue, we were all sat there, just nice. And this big guy wearing an England rugby shirt, he kind of just looked like you'd expect an English rugby fan to look, tweed jacket, like farmer's cap, chinos, walks in, swing low, sweet chariot. And there's kind of all these very polite Welsh people. Yes, we heard you, sir. And I was a bit embarrassed, to be honest, because it was just a bit of an awkward atmosphere. So what I thought I would do, I thought I'll make a joke out of this to relax the atmosphere a little bit, make everyone just a little bit, you know, everyone, we're all very timid, we're a bit quiet lot, so I'll just do something to break the tension. So I thought, I'll make a joke out of this. So I, after he'd sung that, I pulled up my chair. Now, because the camera's filming this, I couldn't get an actual chair, so we'll do some pretending now, okay? So I pretend, but this is what actually happened. I got a chair, and I moved it, and then I stood on this chair, and I went, now, as I said, I'm Welsh, so when you're in school in Wales, particularly a Welsh language school like mine, you learn all these Welsh hymns in four-part harmony, proper, you really how to sing them. So I knew all these songs, and I, as a joke, right, I thought, I'll stand up and I'll sing the first line of this hymn and pretend to conduct everyone, but obviously no one will join in because we're all very timid and quiet and this guy's scaring us, frankly. So I stood up, I'm on my chair, and I go, Nid o'n gofyn bywyd my face. And then, to my utter shock, 70 Welsh people all join in perfect four-part harmony, and it's like the sound of angels. And it's like a choir of angels, incredible. And this English guy just kind of slopes back around the corner. Okay, well, we'll win the rugby, you win the singing, fine. And just throughout that game, it was incredible. And I didn't know any of these people. I had nothing in common with them. Maybe two of them I knew, but only because we went to school together. There was about 70 people, didn't know anything about them, had nothing in common with most of them, other than this cause that we were there for. The reason we were there was to see Wales win, see our country beat England. And obviously I wasn't expecting that to happen, but just so you know, obviously this isn't really relevant to the talk, but Wales did win. Lloyd Williams is on the left wing, chips it into the middle of the field. Gareth Davis pounces on it, scores under the post. Dan Bigger, 52 metres out with 3 minutes to go, lines up the kick. He's got a penalty. They say he's never going to make it. He doesn't get those for the Ospreys. He's not going to get them for Wales. Lines it up, 52 metres out. The commentator goes, as he's stepping back for it, he does this like Macarena dance before he kicks. And he's lining up for it. The commentator goes, he'll never have a better moment to have more adrenaline coursing through his legs. And he hammers it and it goes over and we all go crazy. And there's even more singing and there's hymns and arias and there's Bread of Heavens and there's Hen Wladf and Haddies. And we have this incredible experience. And do you know what? I could have watched that game on my own. It would have been so much easier in some ways. I could have seen the game better. I'd have a clearer view of the screen. I'd have heard what the commentators were saying. I'd have heard what's going on. I wouldn't have had to pay through my teeth for food and drinks. I could have just got that from Sainsbury's. I wouldn't have had to put up with the BO from the guy next to me standing like that the whole time because we were all so squished in. I wouldn't have had to peel my feet off the floor every 4 seconds because everything's so sticky. But I would not have had the experience that I did if I didn't do it in community with those people. Because community, when you get it right, is the most amazing thing in the world. And I'll tell you what's even better than that is Christian community, the church, when we get it right, when we get that connection between each other right. Thanks, Joey. Some things are designed to be experienced in community. And if you're not a Christian here tonight or you're just exploring, it's something you need to know that the Christian faith is one of those things that needs to be experienced in community. And that's one of the reasons that's going to make you think, I really hope this is true, because the way the Christian community works is the most incredible thing in the world. Now, maybe for you, you're a Christian and you've been coming here for a while, and that rugby story kind of almost rings true of your experience of church and community and getting to know people. Like, you walked through the door and just all of a sudden, within 3 seconds, you met your best friends in the world, and they're just the most fantastic people in the whole universe, and you couldn't live life without them. And you comment on their Instagrams like, oh my gosh, you're so radiant, oh my gosh, oh my God, why can't I be like you? That's how I comment on Sam Cook's Instagram. Would encourage you guys to do that as well. And maybe for you, the idea of us having two services is there's this fear because it's like, well, hang on a minute. What if I don't see my friends? I come to church to see my friends, to worship with my friends, pray with my friends, to have fellowship with my friends. Well, am I not going to see them anymore? Isn't that putting me at a disadvantage? Whereas for others of you, it might be the total opposite. Maybe you've been coming for years and you've done everything you can. You've joined a hub at one of our midweek groups. You've really committed to that. You've got stuck in. You've taken everyone out for coffee. You've had everyone round for dinner. You've been to every social event, but you still don't feel like you're part of a community or that you even have any friends. And maybe for you, it's a bit more of a, well, maybe this is a chance for me to actually get to know some people that can kind of come alongside me in life. But with both those examples in mind, as we go through these changes as a community, and also just generally to remind ourselves, we want to look to the Bible for a model of what it looks like to have a connection with each other and to build community. So the book that I want to look at is the book of Ephesians. So with a book called Ephesians, it's by this guy called Paul, who's one of the church early church leaders, and he wrote it while he was in prison. So with a name like Ephesians, can anyone tell me which church, the church where was he writing to? Wrong. It's not Ephesus, as you might think. It's actually a common misconception. The beginning of the book, even though it says, in your Bible, you'll read it, it'll say, to the church in Ephesus. Most scholars actually think now that it was written to the whole of the church in that area. And the reason it says Ephesus is because that was just where we found the first manuscript. So actually, Paul is writing to everyone. What Paul is saying is for everyone. What Paul is saying about community, how we should live, is for exactly. It's for everyone. And in the first part of the second chapter of this book, he starts by talking about how before Jesus comes into our life, it's like we're physically alive, but spiritually dead. Like almost kind of like zombies. I got there in the end. But through Jesus' resurrection, through Jesus taking the blame for all of our mistakes, we're resurrected with him. We're given that whole new life that comes with him. And Paul uses that to address one of the biggest divisions, probably in the history of the church, a division at the time between Jews and Gentiles. Now, if you're not familiar with this whole thing, the Jews were the people who considered themselves to be God's chosen people. So right through from Abraham and Moses and all the people in the Old Testament, the people that God set apart, and he did that in all sorts of physical ways and putting barriers between them and other people. So, you know, for instance, they would show themselves as set apart by being circumcised and stuff like that. Yes, circumcised. I'll leave that at that. So there was these physical divides. Yeah, you can only move on from that, really, can't you? And then on the other side, you had the Gentiles. So basically anyone who wasn't those people. So it could have been a pagan, could have been an atheist, whatever you were. And often it could have even been that those people were looking and thinking, oh yeah, flip, I'd love to be a part of that Jewish people, the chosen people of God. But because they just weren't a part of it, they weren't in the kind of crew, that couldn't happen. They couldn't do that. And Paul says, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are all unified. There is no barrier between Jew and Gentile, between any other sort of division of mankind that you could think of. We are one. God's dwelling place is in us. So I want to read from verse 14. So that's going to come up on the screen. So Paul says, for he himself, that's Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the particular part that I want us to focus on that really speaks to what it means for us as a church to be community today. So I wonder if you just read that together with me. So in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So with that in mind, as you can see, we've got three bits highlighted there. And there's three bits that I want to really draw out of that, that I think are going to help us as we grow as a community. So firstly, Paul says we are joined together. Now, I think it's really important to remember that as a church family, we're joined together. Because otherwise, we have this tendency to slightly get into a bit of a me, consumerist Christianity. And that can look like kind of different things for different people. It can be like you just love church, but for church rather than God. So you come and you're like, oh, I just love coming to Metro for the worship and just the word of the Lord. And then I go home and I listen to Christian podcasts and I listen to Christian music. And I don't really speak to anyone who's not a Christian. And then I don't really work. I just stay at home and just stay in my Christian bubble and drink Christian milk from a Christian cow, as my friend Philip Gennady would say. But for others of you, it might be something different. It might be the total opposite. It might be, yeah, I come to church. I come to Metro, but only because it's not like other churches. I don't like church. Steer clear of Christians. No. Just come to tick my box. Just tick off the religion box, done. It's just about me doing a thing, all right? Sorry to anyone who speaks like that. I'm not suggesting that you that's how you interact with the Christ. But when we lose sight of the fact that the Christian community is for everyone, and what Paul is saying is for everyone, we have a tendency to almost, it's like we get ill. Honestly, I actually caught an illness the other day. I was at church and someone said something to me and I thought, actually, that's really disrespectful. And, you know, I've put in all these hours of work and I do so much for church. And someone's disrespected me like that. And I got all annoyed. I didn't even say anything. I just ignored them, just blanked them for a bit, didn't talk to them and got, Lord, how could someone speak to me, your servant, like that? After all that I've done for this church, other things, don't you know about me, Lord? Haven't you seen? And I'd caught this illness. It's called get over yourself-itis. It's very contagious. Honestly, you can just be around people who can, you can get it. You know, and that can be, this person got to do this thing in church. They got to lead that team, or they got to be on that team. They got to do that, and I didn't. Why isn't that? Or it could be, I just want a church that has a service time that suits me. Why can't the service times better suit me? Or this kind of congregation doesn't have this for me. Or I go to this church, but I don't really feel like there's anything there for me. There could be all sorts of different things that looks like when we get over yourself-itis. But and don't get me wrong here, guys. Part of community, what we do here, and throughout the week, as a body of people, I want us to be known for our love of each other, for our forgiveness, our kindness, our mercy, our compassion with each other. The way we treat each other should stand out from the rest of the world. It should be incredible. But do you know what I realized God was saying to me when I got that illness the other day? And maybe he's probably saying something similar to people in similar situations, if I'm being honest. You might want, I don't know, like lean in. This is it. This is what God was saying. Get over yourself. Honestly, there are times when we just need to step back and go, actually, am I making this about myself rather than about the body of Christ that's for everyone? And it's not just for me. It's not just for you. And of course, there's individual blessing that comes with being part of the body of Christ, that comes through finding salvation in Jesus. But if that's all we have, if that's all of your Christianity, then you're missing something. When we're joined together, we become part of something greater. And as we do that, we are built together, Paul says, into a holy temple. Now, what Paul means by that, when he talks about a temple is essentially a place where God and humanity can meet and can be together. So you might hear in the Bible people talking about Jesus being a high priest. Well, a priest is someone who maintains a temple, who looks after that. So in a way, Jesus is the high priest who makes a way for that connection between God and humanity. And actually, what Paul says is the temple is now in us. Jesus is the true priest. He's the temple, and that lives in us. But when he says us, sorry, he says in you, but what he means is us, the church. He doesn't mean you as in you, Matt Miles. He means you, Woodlands Metro, and the whole big capital C church in Bristol. And it's important to remember, because elsewhere, Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ, and he says that Christ is the head, which sounds a bit weird, if I'm being honest. It sounds like, you know, in Futurama, they have those heads in a jar floating around in water. I'll move on from that before I get heretical, before the snipers get me. Anyway, but Christ is the head. But if you think about it, the head is the source of all the knowledge, of all the wisdom, of all the love, of all the power. The head is where everything comes from. And the body is what makes the stuff happen, is what does the stuff. You know, elsewhere, Paul talks about the church, about Christ being the cornerstone. There's not really much to say on that illustration, is there? It's just a stone is just a stone without the rest of the bricks of the house, isn't it? There's not much more to it. Without the rest of the stones, it's just a stone. It can't be a house. And if that is all a bit odd or difficult to understand, it's helpful to kind of think about as if Jesus was the cure for cancer, and we discovered this cure for cancer, but just the cure by itself isn't going to be able to change the world. You need doctors and nurses and surgeons, all sorts of people who are trained up, understanding how to deploy the cure, to take it to places, to explain to people. And that's what we are as the body of Christ. We're the hands and the feet that take the good news all over. Now, of course, don't get me wrong, I believe God is omnipotent and omniscient and an omnivore, but that's how Jesus uses us. That's our job as the church. So we are one. We're joined together in order that we may build together. And I find it funny because when you join the church, when you're part of that team of building, you're joining something that God's building. So when I it's quite funny now. I have people who say to me, "Oh, Matt, you're so lucky that you ended up at Metro. You know, with all the, it's got all the best people. It's got amazing worship, amazing talks, amazing ministry, amazing team. Matt Forth's there. Everything that you could ever want in a church, and you get all the big parties. And oh, you're so lucky that you just landed there. And there's all these people who are kind of in their 20s and 30s, and that's so rare for a church. And it couldn't be further from the truth, because I was originally at our central campus in Clifton, Woodlands, and when Metro started, Philip said to me, "I think you should come and be the student worker." So I gave up all of my friends, honestly. All my friends were at Woodlands, so I came here, and honestly, for the first few years, I didn't really have any friends, and it was tough, and it was lonely. I didn't have anyone here that I was processing stuff through. And it just took a really long time, and it took sacrifice. Like we said at the beginning, you can't get community without sacrifice. And this is something that we're continually building. We need to remember that, because sometimes it does get lonely. And definitely there were times over the last few years where I got a bit get over yourself-itis, and I got, "Oh, why isn't there anything for me here? Anyone like me or anyone that I can hang out with?" And in those times, we've got to remember the cause. Why is it? It's because of Christ. He's the secret to our unity. He's what draws us together as we build together. You know, if I was in that pub and there wasn't a Welsh rugby game on and I just stood on a chair with a pint of beer and started singing Calon Lan, probably wouldn't have had the same experience of community, would I? Because we didn't have the cause. That's what we remember when stuff gets tough. So we are joined together in Christ. We are building together in Christ. And what does that look like for us practically as a church? Because Paul says that we are becoming a dwelling. What does it mean to become a dwelling? A place where God's spirit lives on earth. A place where people will look and go, "Flipping heck. There's something weird about those people, and it's a good weird. There's God's spirit living in those people." What does it look like for us to be that place? And, you know, the reason that we're talking about connection in part is because it's just always something that's important for us as a church to be processing. But also, with this transition to having two services, we need to really think through practically what connection looks like for us practically. Because the biggest danger that we can have is that we kind of just splinter across and we go, "Oh, well, my friends are at this service," or "All the students are going over here," or "The young professionals," or "The people from whatever group are going here," that we split across and we put our needs first. And we need to work on that more than ever. And practically, how can we stop stuff like that happening where it just becomes about me and my group of friends? Well, the obvious one, we talk about it all the time, is joining a hub. get stuck into a hub. So one of our midweek groups, and meet all across the city, get together, really informal, kind of worship together, look at the Bible together, hang out, and do that kind of just normal life stuff together. If you're not in a hub, you can join one. If you're in a hub and you're not really in a hub, I think some of you know what I mean. I've been there myself a lot of the time, where it can be easy to kind of be signed up and kind of technically be there. But really, it gets to 5 p.m. on a Wednesday night and you're already knackered from work. You've had a long day, and the idea of then trekking across town to sit in a sometimes a little bit awkward conversation where people are disagreeing doesn't seem that appealing. But you don't get community without sacrifice. You don't get community without sacrifice. And maybe you're more on the edge. You're kind of thinking, well, I'm not even sure about Christianity. Well, a great thing for you would be our Alpha course. Starts at the 9th of October. And that's a really informal midweek group where you can come together with a bunch of people who are all asking the same questions as you, have a meal. It's all free. There's no pressure. If you don't want to come back, you don't have to. There'll be a talk about Christianity, and then you can discuss it, and there's no questions off limit. And that's the number one way, I think, if you're exploring, to be involved in this community. And then if you're a student as well, I don't know, there might be a few of you here, a handful of you who are freshers. The one thing I'd say to you, just pick a church and get stuck in. It doesn't matter which one it is. There are tons of incredible churches all across this city. And there are so many places where you'd be so loved and so welcomed. We'd love it if it was here, but it might be somewhere else. But wherever you choose, just choose somewhere and get stuck in. Now, if you've experienced that real community, you will know that it's worth it. It's worth those awkward conversations in small groups. It's worth the 371 WhatsApp messages that go unanswered, that are just all prayer requests that you don't really want to deal with. It's worth having a chat with the people, the new person that actually you'd rather be catching up with your friends. It's worth those things. It's worth the sacrifice, because that's what we're called to do as the body of Christ. We're joined together as a body called to become a dwelling for God. And the reason we're moving to two services, it's not so that we can just have more nice Christian stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's not so, oh, great, now more people can experience Metro and have experienced the amazing worship and Philip Gennardo going like this. It's not about that. It's not about having more Christians. It's not about us growing a big church so we can look good and have a great Instagram. We do, but that's a separate thing. It's not about that. It's making room at the table for more people who don't think that the church should have a place in society. Making room for people who don't think that they fit in. Making room for people who don't have a clue what they even think about God. Making room for people who have historically felt like they're not allowed to be part of the body of Christ. That's the people we're making room for. We're making room as we sacrifice, as we make those choices to, yeah, I am going to get stuck into a group. Yeah, I am going to hang out and ask that person for coffee who I know is feeling a bit on the edge. To make sacrifices when we choose to not have a consumer Christianity that goes, oh, well, actually, I'm really tired from work. And of course, there are legitimate reasons often to be tired. But when it's actually, it's a little bit in there. It's that get over yourself-itis, and we know actually we need to make a sacrifice. That's why we're doing it. It's so that we can have more stories of people who have come to know Jesus, who've come from the furthest place possible away from knowing Jesus, people who've gone from death to life, people who were alive physically but dead spiritually, so we can see more people being baptized. We will have more of those celebrations that, you know, if you've not been here before, if you've not been here for long, when people get baptized, we go hard on the partying. And that's because we've sacrificed to make a way, to make space at the table for people to be able to join in the body. It's making room for more people to be able to find Jesus, love one another, then follow Jesus and serve the city we're living. We're making room for people to experience God's Spirit in a way that you can't on your own. And how flippin' incredible would it be if we were known as a people that aren't just best friends? Because community and friendship isn't the same thing, is it? You can have your best friends in the world. I remember someone saying to me, at one stage I was heading up the student work here, and I remember someone saying to me, oh, I think the community with the students here is amazing, early in the beginning. And actually, I thought, I don't think it is. I think this is an amazing group of friends who are doing amazing things, but unless we're welcoming more people in, it's not an amazing community. If I'm just having a great time, even if I'm growing loads in my faith and it's just me looking inwardly at my group of friends, it's just friendship. It's not community. That's not us being a body. That's being like a leg. It's a different thing. We're called to be the whole body with Christ at the head. And wouldn't it be amazing if we were known as a people who are willing to sacrifice to make community happen? We were known as a people who would make those difficult decisions, who would sacrifice. So the big idea is this. As a community, we're joined together through Jesus as we build the church with him and become a dwelling place for God's Spirit in Bristol. Would you, if you're able, would you stand with me just as we pray, and why don't the band come back up? At this church, we love to make space for people to get prayer and to receive ministry through the holy power of the Holy Spirit. Just in that corner, just to my left, your right, and where the sofas are, there'll be a bunch of people in blue t-shirts and some not in blue t-shirts who'd love to pray for you. They won't kind of ask you any deep probing questions about why or what's wrong with you or anything like that. All they'll do is just ask to lay a hand on your shoulder and ask the Holy Spirit to move in you and kind of help you as you work through that stuff. But it may be that as we're kind of going through that, and as we worship now with the team, that actually God will be stirring something in you, that there'll be like a little bit, oh, it feels like my heart's just going a little bit quicker, or there's something that's come up, or something I really want to deal with this, I want to talk this through with God, then please do head over there. It's nothing scary. It's really, the team will be incredibly welcoming and friendly. So just as I pray, maybe you want to just close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are invited to be part of your body. What a privilege. What an unbelievable privilege that you ask us, that though we were dead, we are now alive. We've been raised to life, and you say, you are my body. And Lord, let us be those people. Lead us as we make those choices, those sacrifices. Let us be the people that puts the needs of others in front of the needs of our own. That the church would be the organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Lord, would we be those people? Lead us, we pray. In your holy name, amen.